And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, Paul continues to emphasize that everything is by the grace of God in the book of Galatians. He mentions that most of the Gentiles have found God, but then quips that actually they were found by God. The concepts of free will and predestination can be difficult to reconcile, but it doesn't have to be. From our perspective, it's like free will. From God's perspective, it's like predestination. Okay, good. Paul concludes this portion by asking, if we're trying to win favor with God through our actions, then he reminds us that we can't. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Next, Paul then expresses deep concern for his audience. He fears that all his work with them will go to waste. He wants them to live in freedom as he does, freedom from the law, freedom from legalism, and freedom from performance orientation. He wants them to live in the grace and mercy that comes from Jesus Christ. And finally, the apostle concludes this thought by reminiscing about the joy that we all shared in those early days. In the beginning, it was great. What happened? They tried to take over that which God himself started, so they started to lose their joy. He then asks simply this question, have I become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? Before, when Paul told them the truth, they received it and became Christians. Now he challenges them again and wonders if the truth he tells them is making them his enemy. It should never be that way.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. We're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and creatures of all ages and sizes, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Dynamite! Talking to Dynamite D is like sharing a cheat meal on your diet with your favorite person.
We like a little cheat meal with our favorite person here.
You know, I like it too when your favorite person buys you the actual In-N-Out burger.
Oh, wow. Keep going.
I'm not going to say where, when, or who, but I think everybody knows what's going on there. Anyhow, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a prayer request and we'll pray for you right now. Why? Because we believe that prayer, unlike the way that the media tries to portray it or government officials who are just ludicrously unknowledgeable about God. Prayer, according to Jesus, changes the universe. Prayer, in fact, stopped the universe in its track. Prayer can bring redemption into situations when God enters it through Jesus Christ. So we think prayer is powerful, changing, altering, affecting things. If you've got a prayer request, let's do it. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help. That's what we're here for. That's what you're here to do with one another, to bring as much of Jesus through you to others and to enjoy him in that fellowship. That's what you're supposed to be doing. We also want to give that opportunity for praise reports, because praise reports are phenomenal. People worry about they're going to sound good. Don't worry about sounding good. People just love to hear that God's doing stuff. It's a blessing, and it helps the hearers have more trust and confidence in God. Additionally, we also do trivia. And we do trivia to keep the Bible at the forefront of our thoughts. We want to be spirit-led, but Bible-grounded. So here's your trivia question. What was Moses' temperament? In other words, what was his kind of disposition? Was he brave? Was he calm? Or was he meek? Was Moses brave, calm, or meek? If you think you know the answers, you are welcome to call the show, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA, because we exist in that on a pretty regular basis. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. Don't tell. Oh, I don't have time. But watch one less show. Just do one less thing of all the other stuff. Right? I mean, just do less of the other stuff, you know, and do more of the Lord stuff. Spend time with the Lord every day. That's D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never, 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 never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. It's funny because Don and I were talking about the show, just about something that he's been reading. And we were just talking about the reality that mankind has gotten to the place where they are worshiping the creation more than the creator. And that comes about because people try to ignore the word of God. Not a brilliant idea. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, which means we emulate Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve. And by taking other people on in our hearts and minds, we find there's always this space of grace that increases in our own lives. That's how God designed it. That's why that's so cool. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I've never been on air. Fine.
Oh, you're doing great. You're doing a fantastic job. Okay?
So thank you. I love you so. I just never. You really can cheer up anyone. God.
It's
the spirit in you. This makes me alive. Oh.
Well, that's very, very nice of you to say. There's a couple people I know that might not agree with you, but I appreciate you saying that. How about that? All right, here we go. What was Moses' temperament, or, you know, like his attitude, his disposition? Was he brave, calm, or meek?
Meek.
That is correct, Amundo! You are so right. He was meek. And you just think, how can that guy be? You know, meek's not weak, but how could he? I mean, it's like that guy spent so much time with the Lord. It's like, and he just kind of kept it, just kind of kept himself. I find that amazing. I just am impressed with that. It's just phenomenal.
Me too. Yeah. Mom used to say to me, you're slow as Moses. I didn't really know what it meant.
See, for me, I'd have been like, all right, Lord, you know what? That's enough of Israel. Start burning the ends of the camp. You know, it's like I would.
Yeah, 40 years is enough. It was.
What a great job you did for your first call. It's phenomenal. I just want to congratulate you, and I thank you so much for calling the show.
Can I get a little prayer, or do I do that on a different line?
No, yeah. What is it? Yeah. Did you have
to? I'm going through really bad. I know it's spiritual warfare with my family, and I have to make a major decision in 2 weeks. It's life-changing, whether to move or go. move or stay. So I'm asking for wisdom and guidance, and most importantly, I need a Christian friend. I really don't have one, and the ones I had moved away and went their own way kind of thing. And I need someone right now to talk about these things, and I really don't have anyone that puts God first is the thing.
Okay. Well, let's pray, because you know what? You know what's great about the Lord? It only takes a moment for a miracle. And when we have faith and bring it together, we're going to take your faith and our faith, and you might be going through a really hard time, but you know what? The Lord is fully aware. He's not unaware. He's not unaware that you have to make these decisions, and he will help you through this process, okay?
Thank you.
So let's pray real quickly. Let's do it together. Father, we come before you right now, and you know what, Lord? Anybody who comes before you and seeks your counsel and your wisdom, you love that person. You love that attitude that person has. And we are asking for wisdom to be granted, for mercy and insight to be given, for deliverance from the frustration and the fear to be poured out upon her so that she would stand in the peace that passes all understanding. Doesn't matter how it looks from man's point of view, Lord. It only matters from your point of view. And we ask that it be your perspective that prevails and your grace and mercy that fills the entire situation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. I love your jokes. I'm a corny joke person, too.
Now, see, that just makes you brilliant. See that right there? That already shows how smart you are. You keep us posted.
Well,
and
you
if
have
you...
a great day. All right.
All right. God bless you, okay?
God bless y'all. I am praying for y'all.
Thank you.
And I'm trying to tell everyone about your station. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Just for reference sake, so people want to know, hey, on that meek thing, what was the reference? That would be Numbers 12:3, which says that Moses is the meekest man. Okay. Just so everybody can know that. Okay. Well, really, just for Al. All right. Excellent first-time caller, right? I mean, that was just phenomenal. Right?
I told her, Dave. I'm like, hey, we don't care how you sound. Just
call.
Just come on.
I mean, come on. Steve did want to point out that Moses was very meek, except for when he killed the Egyptian, then maybe not so much. It's like, okay, good call. All right. So what we're going to do, there's so much I want to cover and so much I want to share with you, but I got to just kind of pace it out. So I already can tell I'm like revving up. So I'm going to slow it down so I don't talk too fast. And calm through this. We're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
Philip shares the gospel. In that gospel presentation is a proclamation about baptism, no matter what anybody says. That's just the reality of this text. He gets baptized, and the Holy Spirit catches Philip away, and the eunuch never sees him again. Does he go away miraculously? You can't define it as an absolute, but it sure seems that way. Doesn't matter, because why? The text says he never saw him again. That's what the text says. God will use people in your lives for a moment to make a change in your life, and you will never see them or hear from them again. That's what you got to recognize. God will use you in people's lives for a one-time encounter that will accomplish that which the Lord desires to accomplish, that will plant some form of seed that God has in mind, and that's the intent, and you'll never see him again. You think, well, I don't know what the value of that was. That's why divine appointments are divine appointments and not human evaluations, because God uses the most unique circumstances, even one-time, one-and-done circumstances, to plant seeds in people's lives throughout their journey on the earth, to reach them and speak to them and to encourage them. You getting that? Sometimes God will bring somebody into your life, and it's just for a brief moment. And that's the purpose, and that's the intent. You don't fully understand, nor do I, nor does any human being, why the Lord has people cross paths the way he does. But remember, he is God. And so he knows what person needs to have what encounter at what juncture in their life. All of this is to say the Lord is the coordinator. It wasn't Philip. It wasn't the eunuch, so to speak. I mean, it was a strategic placement of a Christian in a position to reach a secretary of the treasury in Ethiopia to have a salvation opportunity. And nobody could ever predict that. But God set the whole thing up. And then he's done. And it's so amazing because the scripture says he never saw Philip again. That's it. One and done. See you, buddy. God bless. And it was all part of the plan of God. Some people get saved in one church, and then they end up going to another church shortly thereafter, and that church is really instrumental in their growth, but not their decision. Totally normal. Nothing weird about that whatsoever. You're normal. It's normal. Because the Lord is in charge, and he's not asking anybody's permission. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Now, we have a very interesting situation, and we have to explain this to you carefully, okay? Howard Ball, phenomenal listener, has decided not to take the tickets that he won in the contest. So we have tickets. Okay, we have tickets for the September 30th UNC, University of North Carolina, Charlotte 49ers versus the SMU Mustangs. Now I'm going to let D say what the trivia question is to win the tickets. If they get the trivia, okay? What you have to have is a phone that you can be sent the tickets to. It's four tickets. What? Four tickets and a parking pass.
Four tickets and a parking pass, Dave.
Okay. So that's for the SMU Mustangs football game, September 30th. But you got to have a phone that it can be sent to, right? All right. Are you ready for the trivia question?
I am ready, Dave. All so right. The trivia question is this. So, of course, y'all know me as – I can't even say the name.
You can't.
The trivia question is, what is the first part of – the name. So the last part is D.
Right.
What is the first part of that?
What is the first part of blank D's name on the show?
And it's not a bad word.
Right. In fact, it's, it will shake you to its core. It will shake you to its core. Come on. You got to work with me here. This is if you want the tickets. Okay, if you want the tickets, okay?
So What date is the date of that game?
September 30th. So I think these are all Saturday. I'm pretty sure they're Saturdays. So September 30th is the day of the ticket. I don't even know exactly what time it is. I got to look at the time. We'll get the time. But it's the UNC Charlotte 49ers and SMU Mustangs. Four tickets and a parking pass. So it's the first one that responds. What is blank D's name on this show? Do we have somebody?
We had a caller that had the right name, but that day he can't do anything, so he's out on that.
Okay, so it's still available. You can text, you can email, or you can call in if you want to win those tickets. It's for September 30th. It's a football game. It's four tickets to a football game and a parking pass. I mean, that's just a good time right there. I'm just saying. So, and I'll just make sure everybody knows that if you want to do that, how you do that, you either call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. And we're going to do it until we give the tickets away. So this will be like today or tomorrow, whatever. And then when we're done, it'll be that for a little while. So the question is blank D. And all I can say for a hint is it's kind of like TNTD.
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
See what I did on that one? There you go. All right. So if you want the tickets, then you would respond. Just say, yeah, I want the tickets. Let us know. And then somebody will send you the tickets and whatever versus on your smartphone. Okay, that's number one. Number two. I need everybody to be praying as we've got many things that are coming up. I need prayer for my daughter and for my son. So those that don't know about my daughter, she is just a phenomenal woman of faith. She's got four kids, even though the Phil says that she has three. She's got four kids, and she just needs refreshment. And I just feel in my heart to be praying for her. She's a blessing for everybody. We've actually had her on the show before, and she's just a great person and just great Christian, better Christian than I'd ever be. That's for sure. I mean, that's not, I don't think that's that hard, but so anyway, I just want to let her know we're praying for her. So please pray for Julianne. That's her name, is Julianne. Okay. Now I want to get into the text because I cannot miss anymore, and we'll get back to the other trivias in a little while, giving people a chance to respond in the first place. But we are in Galatians. We are in Galatians chapter 4, and we are at verse 8. Galatians chapter 4, verse 8. You ready? Galatians chapter, I don't know how many times I'm going to say this. Galatians 4, 8 says this. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. And now that you have found God, or should I say, now that God has found you, why do you want to go back to becoming slaves once more and to the weak and useless spiritual powers of this world? You are trying to find favor with God by what you do or don't do certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. I am afraid that all my hard work for you was worth nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you, Gentiles were, free from the law. So you read that and you're like, oh, wow, what is going on? And it's like, and we need to understand that, look, the keeping of the law is not enough to save you. And it's just super simple. Why? You'll never do a good enough job to obtain to the level of the righteousness of God. The law was there to help you understand you need more. And that more is Jesus. And so Paul's like going, man, look, you found God. And then he says this. Okay, well, actually, God found you. You see how he says that? Or you know, where it says, and now that you found God, or should I say that God has found you. So therein lies a big theological issue for people. Well, are we predestined or are we free will? Well, as far as you're concerned, there's a free will issue because you have to make your decisions. But as far as God's concerned, because he lives in every time frame, he knows exactly what you're going to do. He knows exactly what needs to be coordinated. He knows how it goes. And here's the biggest key about what God knows. He's not telling you. People are like, well, God knows. That's right. But he's not telling you. And so you have a whole people on this one side that say, well, it's predestination. Why witness? Because you don't know who's getting saved and not getting saved, and God isn't telling you. So you do what he said. And the other reason to witness is because God said so. So it's like, it's pretty simple there. And so you don't want to get too caught up in that. I think to a degree, not tongue in cheek, but he's like, yeah, after you found God, well, actually after God found you, it's like, it's kind of like that kind of element. But then he says this, and it's very important. He says he fears that all the work that he's poured into these people will go to waste. That's like, first of all, just me hearing that, that's scary. I just like, whoa, what is that? What do you mean? He doesn't want them to miss out on living in the freedom. And what he says, you know, when, in regards to laws and legalism and performance orientation, it's like, look, he goes, I don't want you to be, you know, caught up in these different things. I don't want you to be bound up by trying to figure out what to do or not do on certain days or months or seasons or years. So you have, in Colossians 2:6, we also have this, but you have this element where people, you know, were judging one another by how they and when they celebrated certain things, right? Now you have people now that celebrate Christmas, and then you got people now that hate the celebration of Christmas. You got people that celebrate the Sabbath. You got people that don't celebrate the Sabbath. You got all these different things, right? Every one of these things that you take a position on against somebody else is exactly what Paul's talking about not to do. He's like, stop it. Well, those that celebrate Christmas, not for you to judge. If somebody wants to honor Jesus Christ on one day a year, well, it had a pagan start. So it did about 98% of everything else that's in the world, including the word Christian, which was a terrible word that 22 years later became a phenomenal word. That doesn't matter what it is. It matters the intent and what the person's doing before the Lord. And I still want to say this one thing. And if you're against Christmas, that's fine. But nobody's worshiping a Christmas tree when they're pulling it out of their house and all the little needles are falling all over the floor. I promise you, nobody's worshiping. Anyhow, in fact, that's where I have to stop speaking in my third tongue. Anyhow, what I'm saying to that, we got somebody calling in. What I say to that is simply this. Don't judge one another on that. If you want to hold that and stand in that, stand in that. That's totally awesome. I want to honor one day above another. Great. I don't want to honor one day above another. Great. I don't care. But more importantly, God doesn't care as long as it's unto him. Just stop putting that on other people. That's the command. And that's what Paul's arguing about. He's saying, stay in the freedom. Just be free. If you want to do it, great. If you've got something where it's like, I've got to read X amount of time every day, great. If you got something where you got to pray every time, great. I got to go to church twice on Sunday, twice on Wednesday, great, 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 great. Do it unto the Lord. Don't drop it on somebody else. And that's what he's telling him. He's like, stop doing stuff like that. Live in freedom. Christ has made you free. Exist in that freedom. And the last part I want to say about this, which is superbly important, is the performance orientation part. Now, that's a buzzword now in our society, performance orientation, but it's a proper buzzword. And the reason is because I did this specifically in the very beginning of my relationship with Christ. I did this exact thing. I said yes, and then I tried after saying yes, and then getting challenged by God and finding deliverance from the drug use I was in and all these other things. I was challenged by God because I kept trying to earn his grace. Well, that's an oxymoron. You can't earn grace. It's unmerited favor. You can't merit it. You have to receive it. And performance orientation is all that really is a buzzword is for, I'm going to do so good, I cannot be ignored, and I will be acknowledged. Don't do that. That's not even living in freedom. Living in freedom is walking with the Lord every day in a live relationship. Stop trying to make this about how many good things you do or don't do, or this you kept or this you didn't keep, and this. That's like people on a diet. I should know. I've been on a diet for a long time. Some days go better than others. Some days go worse than others. But it's all about trying to make it happen myself. Not that a diet's bad. I'm just trying to say, don't do that with God. He's not a diet. He's the Lord God Almighty. He loves you. Jesus died for you. That's how much love he has for you. How much are you worth? The blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! You should be like, yes, sir! Yes, ma'am! Right? Those are the big things, right? Don't be performance-oriented. That's just a bad way to go about it, and don't put that on other people. That's even worse. Get my drift? Okay. We are going to take our break, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand
the skill. Can't stand. Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cow Punch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cow Punch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CowPunchSites.com/dad.
What is the David Spoon experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here you go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
Because if there is no resurrection, there is no eternal being. Do you understand? It's not like we all do an osmosis and become part of some gaseous cloud that hangs around Jupiter, and that's how we get one with the universe. That's rubbish. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead. And every single book in the New Testament testifies to that fact.
The David Spoon Experience.
Sometimes hallelujah.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We do have a winner on the tickets, Dynamite D. Can you tell everybody her name?
Miss Jackie Bowen.
That's who called, who originally called for her first call. She got the tickets. Congratulations, Jackie. We're very excited for you. 4 tickets and a parking pass. All right. She got that rolling. All right, here we go. Now, I told you yesterday there was a trivia question that I came across, and I was like, I can't remember this answer off the top of my head, right? Here's that trivia question. You'll probably do a better job than I did, because when I first read it, I was like, I forgot. And then when you look at the multiple choice, it becomes easier. But when the question just came out, I was like, I don't even know. In the time of Moses, the law should be read how many years between the time it's read? How often should it be read? How often should the law of Moses be read? And so when I first said that, I thought, I don't know. At first I thought, once a year or something like that. That's what I would have thought. But anyway, the question is, how many times is the law of Moses? And then the answer is either 7 years, 3 years, or 9 years. Now, based on that, I would have got it. But I would not have gotten it just by itself. Because it's like, I didn't even know that. And Deuteronomy 31 is the reference point, just so you can know. But in the time of Moses, the law should be read how many years? Often, how many years? It's like, how many years to read the whole law? And it's just like, I'm sitting there going, I don't know. That's right, I don't know everything. I have proof I don't know everything. I have a wife that tells me that all the time. Okay, if you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770. And if you're guessing on this, you'll be just like I was. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay, there you go. I'm trying to think if we should do this. I got so much to cover. I got to just do these really fast jokes. I just got to do these. We'll do history in the next little bit. These are really fast jokes. I just thought these two of these were absolutely hilarious. Ready? Joke number one. Teacher, correct this sentence. It was me who broke the window. Joey, it wasn't me who broke the window. See. I think that's funny. Teacher, what is the plural of mouse? Student, mice. Good. Now, what's the plural of baby?
student. Twins.
You're killing me, Smalls.
All right, last one. School board determined that speech and debate would be removed from the course schedule, and there was no argument over it. There you go.
Help me, Jesus!
Okay, all right. All right. Funny. How the time of Moses' law should be read every how many years? It's either 7 years, 3 years, or 9 years. Let's see. So you can answer any of those. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, David, at hemusincrease.org. I do want to make sure everybody knows that Al says, what word gets shorter when you add two letters to it? What word gets shorter when you add two letters to it? Right? Short. That's a good joke, Al. That's a good one. All right. To the text we go, ladies and gentlemen, because we must be in the text. Galatians chapter 4, and we are at verse 13. Actually, we're like 12 and a half. Okay, so just pick it up at verse 12. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 12 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things, for I have become like you Gentiles were, free from the law. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that I was sick when I first brought you that good news of Christ. But even though my sickness was revolting to you, you did not reject me and turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful spirit we felt together then?" Oh, no, you didn't. Yes, he did. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to what Paul says. He goes, "I was sick when I first brought you the good news of Christ. Even though my sickness was revolting to you, you did not reject me." So there's a whole theory and teaching on this whole process that this is from his eye being healed and it didn't heal properly or was something about the eye, because there's another part where he says you would have given your own eyes to me. Nah, it doesn't say that. That's just conjecture, okay? Whatever this sickness was, it was gross. I mean, he could have had, anything. He could have had a really bad tummy. I don't know what he had. He could have had really bad, what's that where your mouth smells a lot, gingivitis? I don't know. Nobody knows. All he's saying is I was like kind of gross and you guys still love me. Okay? That's what he's saying. So try not to read more into it. I know there's all this evidence. No, there's not. It's just like, look, I first came to you. I was sick. Even though my sickness was revolting, you didn't reject me. You didn't turn me away. You know, you care for me like I was like a messenger from the Lord, right? And then he says this in verse 15. Where is that joyful spirit we felt together then? Where is that joyful spirit we felt together then? This is an excellent proclamation to all of us understanding how we need to fight to maintain that joy, because the enemy has a big plan for you and I not to have joy, not to remember the good things, not to remember the graciousness. He has this big plan to make sure that we don't hang on. And the reason is pretty straightforward, isn't it? If the joy of the Lord is your strength and the enemy robs you from remembering about how great the joy is in the Lord, then you're being robbed of your strength. And so it's just a straightforward, remember that joyful spirit we felt together then? But now Paul was telling him some tougher things, right? And as you grow deeper and deeper in relationship, guess what? You find out that your Christianity has to actually be applied. This is like, nobody wants to hear this. When you first get going, right? Okay, let's just use this as an example. It's a perfect example. A guy, male, and a female, a man and a woman, they meet each other, they start courting, they start dating. How's that going? They're dating, It's the beginning of the relationship. What do we call that? Oh, the honeymoon phase. Everything's wonderful. They're getting to know each other. They're leaving each other notes. They're giving each other flowers and gifts. And he's getting candy bars. She's getting flowers. Or he's getting, you know, hockey pucks, whatever. And so the whole premise here is that it's so nice in the beginning. And then as they get to know one another and they get married and they connect to one another, then what happens is they start finding out about one another. And as they're finding out about one another, there's things that start to irritate, and those irritating things become more irritating, and then all of a sudden the other person's becoming obnoxious. That is what he's talking about in the spiritual realm. I went to my church. It used to be like this. Everybody was so cool. I loved everybody. Everybody loved me. I started getting involved, and then this person started saying this, and this started saying this, and this. Same thing. We should be filled with joy at not just what God has done and where we've been in the past, but what he's doing now and what he's doing amongst us all. That joyful spirit you had when you went to church, get it again. Say, well, I don't know what happened to the church did this, church did this. Why don't you come before the Lord and say, wash me clean and let that joy fill back up in me so that I'm not the cause of the lack of joy. How about that? You don't hear that very often, do you? What if you're the reason that church isn't fun anymore? Did you ever think of that? Wow! Be quiet, Dave. All right, we do have somebody who's ready to, I guess, answer the trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Brother Roger again.
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm okay.
Doing okay? All right. You ready for the triv?
Yes.
Okay, pretty good one. In the time of Moses, the law should be read how many years? Every 7, 3, or 9 years?
My guess is 7.
That is correct, am I now? I first read that, I thought, how could it not be every year, right? I mean,
right.
I'm with Ken. Ken's one of our listeners. I'm with him. It's like, right. You got to read it every year. What do you mean? It says, like, no, every 7 right. years. That's how they do it. So, wow. Good job. Did you know or did you have to look it up?
No, I just guessed.
Well, it was an excellent guess. Let me give you props for that. So there you go. Very good. Very good job. How are things going, brother?
Yeah, you were... What you were just teaching on?
Yeah.
Was that the thorn in the flesh?
Was that the what?
Or was that something that, the thorn in the flesh?
Yeah. So there's questions as to when Paul said, so it wasn't the direct reference to thorn in the flesh. I know what you're talking about, but when Paul said, I was sick when I first brought you the good news, even though my sickness was revolting. So some people have connected it to the thorn in the flesh. My problem with that is Paul talks about the thorn in the flesh. He goes, that was a messenger from Satan. So I always think, well, that was probably a messenger from Satan. I mean, that's just what I would think, because that's what it says. But it's like, I understand the eye thing and everything, because he had an eye problem because he was blind. But that means that God didn't do a good job healing, and I don't like that. So that's like, I don't take that side. So
Have you ever thought about that deeply? We'll talk about the thorn in the flesh one.
Yeah.
And a thorn is irritating.
Correct.
And it'll cause... festering and pussing, and if you got too much festering and pussing, it'll start to stink.
Yeah,
and be offensive to others.
That is true.
So if you got something in your life that's festering you, and the best thing to do is pull the thorn out. But he said, remove this from me. And God said, no. Well, it was there for a reason, for buffering. You know, I got to keep him in lined up. So he had to keep going to the Lord for saying, hey, I need your help. I need your correction. I need your guidance. I need you. And the thorn in the flesh was there to help him keep lined up. And I don't know, I don't understand the mystery. There's too many mysteries for me to figure out.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna figure I'm not going to try to figure out. I'm just going to accept what God has for me, whether it's a thorn in the flesh or whether it's complete healing or whatever it is. And that's the joy of the Lord is for what he did for us on the cross. That's what the joy of the Lord is. I keep going back to what he did for us on the cross, and then I get the joy of the Lord back in my life.
That's right.
If I try to lose my joy, I go back.
Well, that's a big key. So the thing about the thorn in the flesh is ultimately God told Paul, deal with it. I've given you enough coverage. Just keep moving forward. It's like, keep moving forward, brother, because nothing's changing. Okay. Got to deal with it. There we go.
I just do this. I just talk to God like I'm talking to you right now, and I say, hey, what's up with this? You know, come on now. Am I not your child and your servant and your friend and all this stuff? And I'm going through it, but I guess what? I guess it's there for a reason, and I'm going to keep going through it until you say, okay, here's the relief.
There you go.
And it might be on the day that I go enter into that gate. Well, I'll have my relief then, and I'll wait until that day to get the ultimate healing, you know. But that's just it, you know. We just keep on striving. Keep on trying, keep on keeping on.
Exactly. Good job, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you for that word. We appreciate you.
I have a little joke. Can I tell it?
Yeah. Then we got to exit right after that. So fire away.
Okay. Well, before I was saved, I was a drug addict, an alcoholic, and a registered Democrat.
Okay. That was Roger again's joke. Just want to point that out, ladies and gentlemen. Just letting you know. Good job, brother. We love you, bro.
All right, bye.
All right, God bless you. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can, right here on KAAM.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ, and until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Quick trivia question. We're going to skip history because I have something I'm going to teach on. What was Timothy's grandmother's name? What was Timothy's grandmother's name? Lois, Martha, or Mary? Lois, Martha, or Mary? All right. Roger again. Never have to be sorry about that. I thought it was funny. Roger's like, sorry about that. Nah. This is our show. This is what we do. We live in this. We exist in this. That's okay. Okay. Al's first answer, granny. Good answer. granny. Deb brought up a great point on the every 7 years on the reading of the law. Was that connected to the Jubilee? Probably. That's probably a good one. You know what I'm saying? That's a good connection. All right, somebody is calling N. Superwoman. All right, let's see. I think somebody's calling in for a trivia, so I'm going to wait and see. Yes, they are. Okay, although Dynamite D just dropped something or something. Send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, brother. This is Don.
Hey, Don. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that.
Busy. Very busy at my church.
Yeah. That's good, though. That's a good thing to be busy.
See, and
I like that because, see, some people, when they go to church, after they've been there a while, they start to, you know, whine about the church. It's like, I get the impression you love your church.
Well, I tell you, my church is everything.
There you go.
I tell you what, it's
that's
just so
awesome.
Much to do. Always.
Always stuff to do. I love that. Good attitude.
Yeah.
Good spirit-filled attitude. All right. Here you go. Trivia question.
Okay.
What was Timothy's grandmother's name besides Granny? What was Timothy's grandmother's name? Was it Lois, Martha, or Mary?
Lois.
That is correct, Alberto!
Yes.
Excellent job, my brother. And I just want you to know that Eric texted in and says, I want some brownies.
Oh, you want brownies?
Well, he said he wants brownies, but we would say yes.
We still want our cookies.
Well,
you
cookies, cookies, brownies, I don't care.
Wonder if you like pumpkin. I found a really good pumpkin cookie with cream cheese topping.
All I'm gonna say to that, Don, is yes. Okay. How's that?
Hey, can I call back and get the address?
Yes, yeah. Do that. Give me about 5 minutes, and then you can call back, or you can actually text me. You can text me on my 214, and I'll do that. All right, you got it. God bless. Bye-bye. All right. We only got a little bit of time. Again, Roger, never apologize, okay? He was like,
you're
he was
fine.
Sorry. It was fine.
You pushed the limit.
Listen, here's how this goes. God is not a Democrat, and God is not a Republican, okay? God is not as stupid as to be either one of those. Okay?
Great.
Just come on. This is the kingdom of God we're talking about. Let's just get it together. All right. Last line here. So I want to pick it up from what we were talking about on that thorn in the flesh. He says, this is verse 15. Where's that joyful spirit we felt together in those days? I know you would gladly have taken out your own eyes and given them to me. That's where people think thorn in the flesh is the eye thing right there. Verse 16. This is the key I want to do. And I only got about 2 minutes. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? The answer to that question is yes for many people, far too many Christians. the truth of the matter is, whatever you come up with, no matter what you come to me with and say to me, I don't care where you're at from a political spectrum. I don't care where you're at from a religious perspective. I don't care where you're at from a secular perspective. The real answer is the best thing ever in the universe for everything is more of God. And if you don't like that answer, it's tough because that's the truth. It's just like, what? It's like sometimes it's just tough. That's what it is. And the answer is always more of God because God can change anything in a moment. So how is it not always more of God? It's just that's what it is. So when certain things get spoken and they get, you know, kind of affirmed, there's no other space to go. There's no other place to go. And Paul's like, now, am I becoming your enemy now because I'm just laying it on the line? And you know what they're mad about him for? What he's concerned about them being mad about him for? Listen to this. He's talking to them about grace. Wait, hold on. And they're mad. He's like, wait, you're mad because I'm telling you that this is by grace? That's what you're mad about? You see what I'm saying? It's like, what? I mean, it's just like, think about that. Like, what, you're mad at me now? Because I'm telling you that God loves you so much and that your answer is in Jesus and it's all good? Okay, that's what you're mad about. Okay. Not mad about traffic. Not mad about your taxes. You're mad that I'm telling you God loves you so much that he does it by unmerited favor. That's what you're angry about. Ha. Huh. Maybe some people get angry just because they want to get angry because they have nothing else to do.
You think that's a joke?
That ain't a joke. There's some truth there. Okay? Look, if somebody tells you the truth, you don't have to kiss them on the cheek. But they don't become your enemy because they tell you the truth. 2 + 2 = 4. If you get upset about that because you think 2 + 3 is only 4 if one of the twos feels like it, you need help. Okay? Get it? All right. There you go. All right, folks. So we're done for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.